Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Beloved Christians, do you really understand how important your prayers are to God? If we want God's will to be done, we have to pray. God has a divine destiny for every human being and for every nation on the planet. The devil also has a plan to keep us from learning about and even fulfilling those destinies. This is the battle that is before us every day. If we want the world to change, if we want our lives and our families to change for the good, we must love as Jesus loves. And that means manifesting our love through our prayers and praying the will of God.
The whole point of being a righteous person avails power to protect your family, to protect your community, to protect your nation. That is why we started the Watchman prayers, to teach people how to pray for their communities, not just for what you need. I mean, that's taken care of when you're praying for what God wants, and that's for protection for the nation, your community, your school, your business. I've had the Lord have me pray for money, for businesses that I work for, because they didn't have any. There were a couple of times that he told me they don't have money to pay payroll. He said, I want you to pray. And I did. Payroll came in. I remember one time, this one job I was on, the Lord says, I only want your hands to touch the payroll when it comes in, because something was going on, something illegal was going on in the company.
Here is this week's message.
Effectual fervent prayers of a righteous person is available as much. Now, a righteous person is someone who's saved, someone who's in right standing with God. So anybody can pray to God, anybody. In fact, he hears the sinner's prayer. And if you have someone in your family that's praying, and many of us do, even if you're not saved, your prayers can be heard because they're covering you. So they're covering you with their righteousness. I remember on a job I had, a particular woman came to me once, and she knew I was Christian, I was a minister. And she said, I have a question to ask you. She says, can you help me with the dream that I had? And she gave me this dream. And in this dream, her family, she saw her entire family being chased by somebody that wanted to kill them. But she said they went to place, and this person was following them. And she was really nervous that we're being followed. I said, okay, now give me the dream. And be very specific. What did you see? They were following you, but what else was going on? What else was about the dream? Tell me every detail. She said, well, wherever we went, it's like they couldn't see us. I said, okay. It was like they were following us. Well, wait a minute. She said, they really weren't following. They were looking for us. I said, okay, so they're looking for you and they couldn't see you. She said, yeah, there was one time they walked right by us and didn't see you. I said, so who in your family is praying? Who's a Christian that's praying in your family? She says, no one. We're not Christians. I said, I don't believe that. I said, for what you just told me is something that most Christians don't understand about prayer, that you can cover your family and the devil not see them, not touch them. So she didn't say anything else. At the end of the day, she came back to me. She goes, you're right. I just realized my sister got saved. And she said, she's been praying a lot. I said, great. So now you know that her prayers are covering you. And she said, well, why would a God I don't know cover me? I said, because that's how he is. He's a loving God. And if a person who does pray, if a righteous person does pray on your behalf, he hears our prayers. So he's going to cover you. And she said to me, well, you know what? Somebody gave me a Bible when we got married. She said it was in a box in a closet. It had been in there like 20 years. She says, I'm going to pull it out and start reading about this God. I said, absolutely. You'll find that he's a good God and he'll start answering your prayers too. So the whole point of being a righteous person avails power to protect your family, to protect your community, to protect your nation. That is why we started the Watchman prayers, to teach people how to pray for their communities, not just for what you need. I mean, that's taken care of when you're praying for what God wants, and that's for protection for the nation, your community, your school, your business. I've had the Lord have me pray for money, for businesses that I work for, because they didn't have any. There are a couple of times that he told me they don't have money to pay payroll. He said, I want you to pray. And I did. Payroll came in. I remember one time, this one job I was on, the Lord says, I only want your hands to touch the payroll when it comes in, because something was going on, something illegal was going on in the company. So the accountant came to me. They didn't trust anybody. They said, I feel that when the payroll comes in, you handle it until you see me. This is the accountant telling me. I said, okay. So payroll comes in. Paula had it. I held on to it. I prayed over it. And then I gave it directly to the accountant. Why? Because there's spiritual things that are going on out here. And you got to be aware that prayer conquers everything, especially when you're praying under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, why do we need to pray? Now, I just gave you a couple of examples there. The person said they saw their family being attacked or somebody following their family. Talk to you about payroll. If you have a job and you are sent on that job and you're a Christian, you're supposed to be praying for the benefit of that company. I don't care if you don't like the boss, but your job, you're going to be graded by God based on what did you do in there? Did you uphold his law? Did you pray for the people? There have been times I've been on a job and he'll wake me up in the middle of the night praying for somebody's personal situation. I never have to tell him. It just is. Because that's how he wants us to be. We are the righteousness of God. When he puts us in a place, our prayers mean a lot. Though people may not know how to pray around you. But that's where you come in and you can pray. And so when you're on a job, don't be upset that you're the only Christian. No, you were set there on purpose. If you're where God told you to be, he's going to put you in a place where you may be the only light in darkness. But your job is to shed the light. How? In your prayers, in your conduct, and how you treat people. And we're going to get to that too, because that will determine whether or not your prayers get through. But for now, we're talking about why we pray. Well, the big part about prayer is Jesus said what was going to be happening in these end times. Matthew 24, people talk about the wars and the rumors of wars and kingdoms rising with kingdom, brother going against brother, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, all these things. We see them happening now. But what he says is, don't let anybody deceive you. Don't be afraid. These are the beginnings of sorrows, but not for the kingdom, it's for the world. Why? Because his kingdom is coming. So that means his people have to have some directive. We have to have some instructions on how we're supposed to be operating while all this is going on. We're not supposed to be jumping with the people and being fearful. He said, no. We're not supposed to be walking in deception with the people. No, we're supposed to be talking to our Father in that two-way communication of prayer, finding out, okay, what do I need to do? Most times, God will tell you before disaster strikes. For example, when 9/11 happened, God had people all over this nation praying, put prayer groups together. I work with several churches. We have prayers in even in apartment buildings. We heard God say, pray, the nation's in trouble. He's been saying it again recently within the last year. He said, prepare for war, like he did back in those days, that the nation was under attack. What's interesting is we're still praying. I don't know how many people are still listening, but when he says that, that means you have a job to do and the protection of the nation depends on you. The protection of your neighborhood depends on you. So just know that's what we're supposed to be doing. Find from God with all this going on, the wars and rumors and pestilence and famines. He will tell you before an earthquake happens. He'll tell you before a tornado happens. We've been speaking to storms in the Midwest, shutting them down. Yeah, now we can't shut them down for everybody, but we can certainly protect our neighborhoods, and we've been doing that. That's our job. Now, here's some things that were said by some of the disciples. Jesus told his people also to watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Meaning, it's easy to be caught up with people who are going here to here out of fear, but the spirit is what's got to take control. The spirit of God in you has to take control to tell you what to do, what to say, and where to go in case of emergency or case of something that you really need to hear him from. Also, Luke wrote, and this is one of my favorite ones. This is Luke 21, 34, 36. He says, and take heed to yourselves, let any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Meaning, don't be caught up in what's going on in the world. He said that this day comes upon you unawares. He said, for as a snare, it will come upon all of them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. So he's saying is it's going to come as a snare to the world, meaning they're going to be watching social media. They're going to be listening to the news station. They're going to be doing everything but what they're supposed to be doing, which is praying and watching, because the news has no clue what's going on. In fact, if you see the news, it's reactive. It's after the fact. But what God does through prayer is he tells us things before it happens so that we can prepare. He's always done that. He's always done that. And he was doing it in our time as well. So you don't know what's going on. You don't know what to do. You hear rumors or something. What do? Ask for wisdom. James 1, 5, and 6 says you don't know anything. Ask God for wisdom. He will tell you what to do. And ask in faith. Again, understanding who you're talking to and going to him in prayer. Also, we have to be wholehearted when talking to God. I'm skipping over a few things here, but just to give you an idea of what some of these rules are. You have to come to God with your whole heart. You have to really, really have a heart to connect with God, and then you will hear from God. And then you have to also be clean. Now, we're gonna do this, because you have to understand, again, God is a holy God. You can't approach a holy God any other way. You have to be holy, meaning you have to be in right standing with him. You also have to have clean hands. Now, for the sinner that doesn't know him, he can cry out and God will hear, because he does have a special grace for sinners who have a heart. You can be a sinner, and if your heart connects with God, boom, he will be there right for you. But for believers, a lot of times we think, well, we got in with God because we're saved. No, you got to still be doing the right things, okay? And I got a list of things, and this is the real rules of engagement that we need to be aware of as believers, or God won't hear your prayer. First of all, forgiveness. You have to forgive or God won't forgive you. We can talk about Mark 11. Mark 11 chapter is on faith. People always want to quote that. It talks about, oh, you can speak to the mountain. You can do this and that and cause things to move. Yeah, you can have whatever you desire when you pray. And Jesus makes it very plain. Turn to Mark 11, 24. He says, you can say whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Okay, so he said, you have to come faith believing and you can have it. And when you stand praying, forgive. Okay, this is verse 25, Mark 11, 25. If you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father will forgive you your trespasses. Okay, so you can't just pray without forgiveness. He's not going to hear you. He will not hear a person who has an unforgiving heart. And I have mentioned this before. This unforgiveness is deep. This is deep. I mean, I could camp here all day long. Because you have to make a conscious decision in your heart, I will forgive this person. Because there's some supernatural things connected with unforgiveness that are far deeper than just what we know in our head. I think I may have told you a story a while ago about this friend of mine. And she's another minister, said she was going to do something. And I knew when she said it, she wasn't going to do it. And I said, well, I don't know why she said it, because I know she's not telling the truth. She wants to do it, but I know she can't do it for whatever reason. And I remember I told her, don't worry about it. I'll take care of this. Well, I was trying to get out of town and the Lord had me go to a hotel to pray. He said, I want you to be here, you know, to pray a passage, a safe passage so you can fly out of here. That's what he does. I can't just pick up and go. I have to pray for a safe passage to go some places. So I go and I'm praying. All of a sudden, I'm at Prayer Mountain in California. And all of a sudden, my prayer goes boop, right back down. I said, okay, Lord, this is odd. And my prayer just came back down. I said, Lord, show me. He says, there's unforgiveness in your heart. I said, where? He says, I have unforgiveness with her. And I said, well, why? I said I forgave her. I asked for forgiveness. Asked her to forgive me. And he says, well, here's what you don't know, Paula. He says, what she did connected with something that happened to you as a child. That's still in you. How is that possible? I had no knowledge. How could something, I hold unforgiveness when I don't sense it, don't see it, don't feel it, don't. It was something from childhood. It's still in my ledger. He said, so you got to let her go. I said, okay, I forgive whoever I'm holding this against from years ago as a child. I release it to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden I prayed, boom, prayer got free. I got free. I got on the plane and left. Now people say, that's kind of odd. Yeah, it is. Is there a biblical reference for that? I don't know. I just know that the Lord told me. And I know that my prayer didn't get answered to have safe passage simply because he said, and this is why we have to have two-way communication. Because if I had just said, I forgive her and got on a plane, who knows what would happen? But this is why we have to hear both sides, not just speaking. We got to hear. And he told me that. And he told me that more than once. It's certain things happen. You know, we've had trauma in your childhood. You don't know what's in there. You know, seriously, you packed it in there somewhere, but the Holy Spirit knows. So this forgiveness is very, very serious with God.
What more can be said of prayer? It's time to get out of the news, get out of social media, away from the distractions and the things that are turning us away from what's important in this time. It is time to get serious and pray as Jesus told us to pray to the Heavenly Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is written in heaven. This is how we pray in the name of Jesus. If you have enjoyed this message, please join us for In Pursuit of Divine Destiny with Paula Matthews, live every Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't forget to like and subscribe both to this podcast channel and to our YouTube channel as well. The next Apostolic Prayer Force gathering is next Monday, May 11th at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Details are on our ministry site, which is www.epicvisionarypartners.org. Also, if you would like to partner with us, you can find details on our ministry site as well. Again, that's www.epicvisionarypartners.org. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.